All right, we're continuing to learn chapter 27. We have learned that a Beinoni, an ordinary person, has the opportunity to bring nachas, to bring joy on high in a way that even a tzaddik does not. And that's because the tzaddik is not afflicted or challenged with the various lusts and cravings and desires that an ordinary person is. And so when an ordinary person has these lusts and desires and overcomes them, then this brings tremendous nachas, tremendous satisfaction on high, Almighty God. And we talked about the idea that some souls will be born for extraordinary service to Hashem, Avodas HaTzadikim, and other souls will have to serve Hashem as Beinonim, or as possible Rishayim, which means people who will be tried and challenged again and again and again, and despite the fact that they'll have these trials, tribulations, and challenges, they shall overcome it. And in doing so, this brings an additional kind of nachas, shnei mini nachas ruach. We said there's two kinds of joy that Hashem has, two kinds of pleasure that Hashem has. One is what we call the sweet and sour, and one is just something that's organically tasty and enjoyable. And that's how it is. That's how it is. So we shouldn't get down. We shouldn't get depressed. We shouldn't get sad and unhappy that our avodas Hashem doesn't measure up to the greatest of the great and the biggest of tzaddikim. That's fine. You do what you have to do. Now the Alter Rebbe adds a fascinating nuance. Not only do we have an opportunity to bring pleasure on high when we restrain ourselves from doing the wrong thing. So an Aveda, which is a rebellion against Hashem, is wrong. You have a desire to rebel against Hashem, you restrain and refrain from doing something which is by wrong, by dint of Torah instructions and ordination, you automatically are doing what Hashem wants. As the expression goes in the Gemara, Yoshav v'le'ovar Aveda, a person who stayed put and didn't commit the sin, he receives mekabel schar, he receives reward, remuneration, ki'ilu asa mitzvah, as if he or she would have done a mitzvah. Okay, that's very nice. So somebody who doesn't have an urge or desire or craving, obviously, is never going to get any reward because there's no yoshav, there's no real staying put. He found this particular kind of sin abhorrent, and because it was abhorrent, he had no desire for it, so he doesn't get any credit for not eating it. So a Jew who never ate pork in his life, and the very thought of eating pork is like nails on a blackboard, and it revolts him, and he doesn't eat pork when he sees somebody else next to him eating pork, and he has no desire for it. No interest whatsoever. Or a cheeseburger. There's no interest. In fact, it's so ingrained in him that this is wrong, that the thought of it makes him want to bring up and regurgitate. It was a barf just thinking about it. So does he get credit for driving by the McDonald's and not stopping in to buy the Big Mac? No. What about the person who used to eat Big Macs? And then they discovered that there is a Torah and Hashem expects something else other than us and it's not okay to feel Jewish and eat Big Macs. And so all of a sudden now he's pulling himself together and he says, I'm not going to do it. And then he's really hungry one day. And the only restaurant is McDonald's. It could be anything, but you know, we're Wendy's. The point is, he doesn't do it. He doesn't do it. He holds himself back. Why didn't he do it? Why? Because the Torah says you don't have to do it. Does God really care about the hot dog I eat? Yeah, actually, apparently he does. So in that case, a person didn't do an Aveda, he has a relationship with Hashem. That's clear, that we understand. Somebody who has the desires or cravings for the Big Mac has the opportunity to serve Hashem through the Big Mac. Somebody who doesn't have cravings for a Big Mac can't serve Hashem through a Big Mac. Big Mac for him doesn't work, doesn't do anything for him. Right? And so it is with many, many different ideas, many different problems, issues, challenges, lusts and cravings that people have. There are all kinds of different taivas, of all kinds of drive and interest and sensual libido that are out there. Some are intoxicating and tantalizing for certain people, and other people are actually revolted by it. They want no part of it. They have no interest whatsoever in committing that kind of sin. Okay. Now the Alter Rebbe says it goes even further. There is something liberating about restraint itself with one tiny proviso, that the restraint has to be l'shem shamayim. That means that even when we're talking about something which is not prohibited, Torah doesn't prohibit this. And not only Torah doesn't prohibit this, but there is no prohibition whatsoever. And in the end, you are going to do this activity because it's permitted. It may even be mandated. But you'll restrain and refrain yourself from fully indulging because you have a relationship with Hashem. As an act of homage and commitment to God, you will not allow the natural soul and its desires to take root. You'll be in control. You'll do this, but later on, in doing something like that, you also are attaining a relationship with Hashem. And in fact, you're able to bring forth a tremendous profusion of holiness. Well, let's explain. So let's take a look inside. V'loy oid. The Alter Rebbe says not only this. Elafilu b'dvarim hamutarim legamri. Big word here. The big word is legamri. Entirely. Even things which are absolutely permissible. So let me explain to you, my friends, why this is such a big word. Because a few weeks ago we learned in the Parsha, Kedoshim Tiyu, that you should be holy unto Hashem. Ramban Nachmanides says, Kedoshim Tiyu, you should be holy, means Kadesh Atzmacha b'mutaloch. It is a mitzvah in the Torah to sanctify yourself. How do you sanctify yourself? We are sanctified by God. When we do a mitzvah, we recite a bracha, and the bracha is a bold statement. Baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech ha'olam. We speak to God face to face directly. We say, you, Lord God, who has asher kiddishanu b'mitzvayisov, who sanctified us with his commandments, with the mitzvahs. Vitzivanu, and he commanded us, whatever it may be. Whole slew of mitzvahs, different things make a bracha. So when we make that bracha, who sanctified us? Hashem sanctified us. Asher kiddishanu. He sanctified us. How did he sanctify us? The mitzvah. What is mitzvahs? At its root source, organically speaking, the word kedusha comes from the term of havdalah, separation. Kedusha and havdalah go together, actually. Just like kiddush and havdalah are part of the same mitzvah. You make kiddush when Shabbos arrives, you make havdalah when Shabbos exits, it's the same mitzvah. It's making the Shabbos distinct, separate and apart. Kedusha means to designate something for a holy and a sacred purpose. Lekadesh means to sanctify, but in a deeper way it means to designate. Something is set aside, it's taken out of circulation. It's no longer ordinary, it's no longer everyday. Now it's set aside for a sacred purpose. And once something is set aside for a sacred purpose and it's used for mundane purposes, then that's where the notion of sacrilege comes from. Mm-hmm. How could you do that? How could you, something which is sacred, how could you have used that for mundane and ordinary things? This was special. This was put away. It doesn't even have to be a religious thing. You could have a person who puts away a bottle of whiskey and said, this bottle of whiskey, I'm going to drink it when, I don't know, my children get engaged. Yeah, people have this mishigasim. I was once in somebody's house, like a shiva house. They said, okay, let's say l'chaim. So I said, meet shabbat. I said, no, not when I'll use that bottle. I'm like, why not? He said, no, this is for a certain simcha I'm waiting for. I said, I hope you sell your chametz, you know, because yeah, I'm going to sell my chametz, but this bottle is designated. So it's not really holy. There's nothing holy about it. But for him, it was special. Why? Because he designated it for a special purpose. So just to say a little l'chaim, when he designated this bottle for a special thing, somehow it's, no, that doesn't work. This is designated, and when that happens, that's what I'm going to do, this special thing. In other words, the idea of sanctifying, in a broad sense, does nothing to do necessarily with God even. We can have this idea of sanctifying, setting something aside to be used for a specific purpose. And because it's used for a specific purpose, we're not prepared to part with it or give it away or who cares, whatever, I can always get another one. No, this is special. You could have a family heirloom. You could have something which is special in the family. It's not really so special. They're available. You can buy in any antique store. Yeah, but this belonged to my grandparent. And because this belonged to my grandparent, that's why it's special to me. You know, Chaim Weizmann was in a, I guess they call it a discovery or an inquiry before the House of Lords in Great Britain in the 30s. And he was advocating, of course, for the establishment of a Jewish state and so on and so forth. I think it's in the 30s, late 30s. So one of the lords asked him, what's so special about this land? We'll find you a different land. You know, originally there was this plan of Uganda or whatever. We'll find a different land. If you need this national safe haven, where you claim that Jews are going to be persecuted if they don't have a land, we'll find you a different land. You know, Great Britain at the time was, we can colonize whatever we want. So Chaim Weizmann said, you know, this is like asking me why I would drive 2 hours on a Sunday to say hello to my mother instead of hugging the old lady across the street. It may not be special to you, special to me. It's like holiness. And in fact, we find the word holiness used in the Torah in a broad sense. There's a very odd use of the word even. A woman whose life, well, livelihood is the oldest profession is called a kadesha. Why? Because that's not something you do from 9 to 5. That's actually a defining thing. That person is a, it's not like a dentist. A dentist is a dentist. When a dentist is not a dentist or not practicing dentistry, they're not, doesn't change their life. But a person who does that for a living, it's defining. This is not a regular person. This is maybe some people wouldn't want to keep company with it. It's something, there's something different. Like this, when you say you make a living that way, you basically have dedicated your life in a sense to a certain place where other people don't want to go. It's defining. And that's why we use the word kadesha. Because to indicate that this kind of pursuit or career, if you want, is not a thing that you do, but actually it becomes a defining hallmark. It becomes who the person is. That's a problem. So going back to the point then, we are designated by God for mitzvahs. God didn't give the mitzvahs to anybody else. No other nation got mitzvahs. Nobody else was told to keep the Shabbat. Nobody else was told to keep kosher. Nobody else is expected. It's expected of them that they should be celebrating Shavuot. It's nobody else's holiday. There's the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, the seven Noahide laws, and the seven Noahide laws are supposed to be kept by all peoples of the world, and they should be keeping these mitzvahs, Rambam says, because God gave the Torah to the Jewish people at Mount Sinai. That's true. That's true. Even though Adam and Eve got the mitzvahs and it was completed with Noach, they should be keeping it because it was given at Sinai, but the expectation that God had from them is seven mitzvahs, not more. Whereas from us, God has different expectations. That's the simple meaning, Asher Kedishonu. Forget holiness. Forget spirituality. Asher Kedishonu, he designated us. He designated us Jewish people. We're different. So when the Jew screams, we're just like everybody else, it's not true. And that's why, intuitively, the world says, that's not true. You're not just like everybody else. They're right. Only it's not with some kind of diabolical plans, like the protocols of elder designers, whether lunacy, crazy forgeries, which were designed to harm us and did harm us, but rather, where does it really come from? We are different. We are unique. We have been designated for a special mission and purpose. That's the meaning of chosen. Not smarter, not more beautiful, not more talented, not more capable, maybe not more lucky, but designated, chosen for a purpose. So when it comes to mitzvahs, that's God's doing. What then is the meaning of Kadosh Atzmecha B'Mutalach? How do you have this idea of Kadoshim Tihiyu, you should be holy, as if holiness is in our purview? It's God's purview. God made us holy. The answer is, says Ramban, that even in the things that God didn't prohibit and proscribe, you should act in a manner of prohibition and proscription. You should avoid them. And in doing so, if you do it, L'Shem Hashem, then that becomes an act of holiness, a fulfillment of a positive mitzvah. Which means just because every steak or ice cream is kosher, doesn't mean you should eat it. Being a glutton, which means eating as much as you want, is called Naval Bereshus HaTorah. It's called being in ugly behavior, immersing yourself in ugly behavior, and doing it with license. What's the license? It's license. It's got a COR and it's licensed. It's kosher. It's got to be kosher. Yeah, it's kosher. Torah says, but you're acting like a chazer. You act like you're acting a pig. That's not appropriate. To wallow in every kind of possible sensual pleasure, to seek every kind of sensual reward possible under the sun, as long as it's permissible, is, from a Torah perspective, a violation of the Torah itself. But the Torah left this open. Here the Torah didn't legislate, didn't tell you exactly what to do. We have 612 of the mitzvahs are exact. Here's what you should do. Here's what you should eat. Here's what a matzah is. Here's what time you should eat it. Here's how fast you should eat it. Here's the way you should eat it. Get exact halachas. Then the Torah comes along with something like kedoshim to you. So what does it mean, kedoshim to you? Depends who you are. For one person, kedoshim to you means to do something which is very difficult for them and comes intuitively. And for somebody else, it's something very different. The mitzvahs are binding on us in equal fashion. All of us are responsible to fulfill the 630 mitzvahs. This mitzvah, God says, let's see what you can do. Let's see how you can hallow and sanctify yourself. I hallowed and sanctify you. I gave you all these mitzvahs. Now you do it. Now, since this is the fulfillment of an actual mitzvah, if somebody doesn't do that mitzvah, ultimately, what is he or she doing? Which means you should have sanctified yourself by not being a glutton, but instead you involved yourself in gluttony. What ultimately then are you responsible for? It's a sin. So what's the chiddush? Now, what's the novelty? If you're going to express restraint, and you do so because the Torah ordains that you should restrain yourself and not immerse yourself in every single pleasure possible, so then it's self-understood that's against Hashem. Of course it's going to bring pleasure to Hashem. You're doing a mitzvah. Just because God gave the parameters of that mitzvah to you doesn't mean that it's not God's mitzvah. It's God's mitzvah. And he said, you figure out how to do this mitzvah. It's still God's mitzvah. So if you didn't do it, who did you violate? Who did you rebel against? Against Hashem. So therefore, the Alter Rebbe adds a word here. He says, v'lo yoid, not only this, elafilu b'dvarim hamutarim, and the Alter Rebbe adds a critical word, and the word is legamri. What does legamri mean? Absolutely, entirely. Legamri, entirely permissible. Which means that to eat something which is kosher is not entirely permissible. In fact, earlier in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe speaks about it in chapters 6 and 7. He says, if you do things which are not l'shem shemayim, person eats and drinks and delights in the physical material pleasure, and he does it for the self-satisfaction, for self-pleasuring, the Alter Rebbe says, in that case, you have necessarily engaged in klipa. He says it's a klipas neiga. It's the shell of light, but it's a shell. That's not what life's about. We did not come to planet Earth to pleasure ourselves. We came to planet Earth to serve Hashem. And therefore, anything which is not directly service of Hashem is automatically service of the opposite. In fact, there is no middle ground in Yiddishkeit. You're either serving Hashem or you're not. As the famous pasuk says, "Bechol derochecha," in all of your ways, "Da'ehu," you have to know Him. That means in every situation, what should we be trying to do? Knowing God. Knowing God means having a relationship with God. That's what we're doing in every situation. So your exercise bike is holy. Your table is holy. Your kitchen is holy. Everything's holy. If you do it for sake of purpose, it's holy. And tzaddikim, who use these things, everything you do is absolutely focused. Indeed, we would revere and treasure any one of their possessions. Because a shoelace from a tzaddik is also used entirely for holiness. Right? The shoelace of a tzaddik could be almost like in the level of other people's tefillin strap. Why? Because he used every single shred of existence for a holy purpose. That's why Hasidim revere an article of clothing, something that the Rebbe owns, and the Rebbe touched, you revere it because of who a Rebbe is, because of who a tzaddik is. So now, if that's the case, then something is not mutter, it's not mutter legamri, and a person who would not fully enjoy, so to speak, the pleasures of this world, for not for the sake of heaven, is automatically not doing what Hashem wants. So what's the chiddush here? What are we saying that this is a loyoy? Not only this, but the iskafia, the breaking, the restraining, it's even more. So the Alter Rebbe says you have dvarim hamutarim legamri. Legamri means it's totally permissible. If something is totally permissible, what does it tell you? That's what we call hechrechi. It's necessary. So give me an example of a dvar hechrechi, something which is necessary. Like sometimes my children will come to me and say, I'm hungry. I want some nash. I'm saying, no, you're not hungry. I'm hungry for cake. Nobody's hungry for cake. You're hungry? Have an apple. You're hungry? I'll make you a sandwich. No, I want candy. And then you're not hungry. Then you can't be hungry. They say, no, I'm not hungry for other things. I'm only hungry for that. Okay, so a child is a child, and that's okay. Like the child does what the child does. But the truth is, in truth, you're not hungry for chocolate or cake. You're not hungry for sweet things. What are we hungry for? For food. So how about eating sweet things and pleasuring oneself? So if you want to get very technical, if you want to be a Tanya Jew, it's not really appropriate. That's not what life's about. Unless that can be used to open your spiritual endorphins and study Torah with greater verve and greater passion, greater fervor. And if you drink a bitter coffee, you just be bitter all morning. So you know what? So then put some sugar in your coffee and be a sweet person and be happy and move on. But do it for the sake of a holy purpose. There's like, I heard this chassid Matl Kazliner Shabbos morning, he would sit down to learn the chassidus and the stomach is growling. So he says, here, Yetzirah, here's a piece of cake. But one, you have as much cake as you want, but after this, leave me alone, he says. Then let me learn chassidus, and then let me daven. Don't get in my way. You know, like, so that's l'shem shemayim. That's okay. What's a davar hechrechi? Davar hechrechi is food which is needed to keep body and soul together. If a person doesn't eat enough to stay healthy, that's not cool. In fact, that's a violation of the Torah. The Torah tells we have to be healthy. So people go on these starvation diets and actually don't eat because of vanity. That's not normal. It's not even good. But if a person says, I'm not going to eat cake anymore. I'm not going to have candy. And I'm not going to have sugar. So you're not having sugar and cake? That's terrible. You must have sugar and cake. No, you don't. It doesn't do anything for you. Why should I? So really and truly, from a Torah perspective, what should a person's diet consist of? Healthy food. That's the truth. Healthy food. We should be eating what we need to eat, not what we want to eat. Okay, so then in that case, if you're eating what you need to eat and doing what you have to do, what is the issue then? So like, where would you even have an opportunity to have iskafias? Listen to what the Alter Rebbe says, and this is really and truly but an example. This is an example. The Alter Rebbe says, Kol ma sha'odom zoyveyach yitzrei. And that's based on the Gemara and Sanhedrin, that terminology. When you slaughter your Yetzirah, we know in the end God is going to slaughter the Yetzirah entirely. Slaughter, get rid of the Yetzirah. But if a person slaughters the Yetzirah, afilu shakala, you slaughter him for a moment, for a little while. Which means, a person is very hungry. They want to eat now. And they become like an animal because they want to eat now. And they restrain themselves. Why did they restrain themselves? As an act of homage to Hashem, as an act of avodas Hashem. Then in doing so, you necessarily are going to be mekadesh, sanctifying yourself in a remarkable way. But you can eat anyway in the end. Yeah, so what? But I don't have to be a person who's totally prone to the whims of the nefesh habamas, of the animal soul. So, you know, sometimes there's the, you ever see the Calgary Stampede at Chabad Flamingo? You ever there? No? Right after Yom Kippur is a Calgary Stampede. Hundreds of people who are running for a piece of cake. Absolutely nothing will happen if you don't run for the piece. The first wave clears up. Rabbi Yossi always puts away a few trays of cake for the second wave. And the first wave, because everybody eats every crumb and barely eats the walls, and then takes off. They charge out of the building. Everybody charges out. There's about 30 people left. Dav Meir, Hair of Dollar. And there'll be cake afterwards. You're not going to be any less healthy. Nothing is going to happen to you if you didn't have that cake for another 5 minutes. Absolutely nothing will happen. So if a person will say, I'm going to control myself, I'm not going to run like I'm a sugar, I'm not going to go be a chazer, whatever, I'll eat, fine. It's like, I'm not going to allow my animal to control me, I'm going to control me. I'm going to do what's necessary, what's right, but I'll do when it's the right time to do it because I am a Torah Jew. If you do that, then you are zeveach yitzrei afilu shalkala. Now, food is a great example. Why? Because food is something we all need. But it's not the only example. There could be a conversation Alter Rebbe is going to say soon, where people like to talk about certain things. But you don't really have to talk about that. And even if you do have to talk about it, you can talk about it later. You can talk about it right now. So don't talk about it. Restrain yourself. Or it could be a host of other things. If people have anger and frustration and all kinds of toxic and negative feelings and behaviors, which sometimes you have to do it, do it later. Think about this. When you have to do something but you really don't want to do, what do we invariably tend to postpone? Why? You have to do it. Yeah, I know. I'll do it. I'll get to it. Gets on the list, you know. The list of things I'm going to do someday. I saw once a meme on Facebook. It said, you don't have to remind your husband every 3 months. Within 10 years, it'll get done. So the truth is, when we want to do things, we run to do them. And when we don't want to do them, even when we have to do them, we'll do them eventually. Imagine you could live your life with doing what has to get done when it needs to be done. But I'll do it when I have to do it. In other words, the things that I really want to do, I don't give in just because I want. Doesn't mean I have to do what I want right away. I'll do it. I'll get to it. Then if a person would do that, he would be an Eved Elokim. He or she would be serving God. That would be an act of service to Hashem. And that's what the Alter Rebbe says. Now, truth be told, the tzaddik is not capable of doing this. Why not? Because do you get credit when you don't do the thing that you don't want to do until you have to? Do you get credit from God for that? No, why not? Because that was natural. That was expected. No, you didn't want to do it. Because you didn't want to do it, you didn't do it until you had to. So there's no avodah involved. For the tzaddik, all the material pursuit is like another to-do list. It's another thing he has to do. Like we'll learn later, Hillel said, I'm going to go do kindness with the body. So Hillel could say that. Because for Hillel, the body, was like a stranger to him. So you have to eat. All right, I'll get to it eventually. It's something to do eventually. I'll do it when I have to do it. But imagine a person who's not a tzaddik, like all of us who have these desires and these cravings, and we want it now, and we'll say, no, I want it now, I'll do it. When? Soon, when I have to. We would treat the things that we want like the things that we need instead of want. Life would look a little different then. And that would be an act of avodas Hashem. And the Alter Rebbe says, if you do it umiskaven, in doing so, you do it le'achkafi l'sitra achra shebechol l'asmal. You do it to crush the Yetzirah, to crush the natural desires that a person has. If a person does that, for example, he's a perfect example. Shechofetz lechel. He wants to eat. Why does he want to eat? Everybody wants to eat. You ever met a person who doesn't want to eat? It's a normal thing. People want to eat. And he's going to eat. But he's ma'achar su'dasei. He delays his meal. I'll get to it. He treats his meal times like all the things, like his to-do list. I'll get to it. He treats his meal times like the laundry. He comes home first thing, throws down his coat, and runs into the laundry. I'll do the laundry eventually. You're going to take out the garbage? Eventually I'll take it out. When? Whenever I have to. Imagine meal times be like taking out the garbage. So for tzaddik, actually it is. It's just a chore. The tzaddik has no interest whatsoever in material things. A famous story with the Alter Rebbe, that once he had a special guest and they prepared a big meal and a big stew, and everybody realized that the stew hadn't been salted. So So the Alter Rebbe's Rebbetzin salted it, and his daughter salted it, and his daughter-in-law salted it. Everybody salted the stew. Then they served the stew, and the Alter Rebbe was eating, and the guest took one bite, and he couldn't eat. So the Alter Rebbe said, "You're not eating?" He said, "You are eating." He says, "What's the issue?" He says, "It's made of the gezaltzen. It's terribly salted. How could you eat this?" He says, "I didn't notice." The Alter Rebbe said, "Fomani came to Mizrich." He wasn't even 20 years old. Fomani came to Mizrich. He lost his tam and achila. He lost his taste. He didn't, his taste buds just shut him off. No interest anymore in that. Now, that's Alter Rebbe. Like, it's a chad bedora, one person, a generation who turns off his taste buds. Most people, the taste buds are very active. Very active. But you know what happens? Sometimes people get older and certain taste buds start to die off. The things that we are excited as children, we don't get excited anymore later on. We don't get excited from candy anymore necessarily. So if an adult doesn't grab a lollipop, you say, "Wow, you're such a chassid. Look, you didn't grab the lollipop." So I'll tell you a little secret. Lollipops don't interest me anymore. Oh, shucks, then you're not a chassid anymore. Then you're just a regular adult. So when the tzaddik didn't run to have his meal, that was normal. That was like an adult not running for a lollipop. But when we don't run to have a meal, wow, that's something. That's something. That means that we are in control. And if we do it for the sake of serving Hashem, not because we're on a diet, or not because there's money to be made now. So you know what? I forget about my hunger, as people do in business, and I'm going to go after what's more important to me now. So then I'm going after what's more important to me now. Well, I got to watch this movie. I'm starving. I know, but I got to finish watching this movie, whatever mishigas somebody would have that forcing them not to do what they want to do. If it's not for an act of Avodas Hashem, then it isn't Avodas Hashem. In other words, going on a diet is admirable and it's fine. It's good to have self-control, but that's not an act of Avodas Hashem. That's still a selfish act of doing what I want for my own personal reasons. This means to do something altruistically because Hashem wants me to do it. That's not simple. That's very, very meaningful. And if a person is chofetz lecha, wants to have his meal, umachasudasi, and he delays his meal, adla achashoy pachas, for a moment, an hour, or even less. And what is he doing in that time? Oh, in that time, he's reading the comics. Well, then nothing was accomplished. He's like torturing yourself, self-flagellating. But instead, what is he doing? V'isik b'teira b'isisha. He says, "You know what? I'm going to wait 5 more minutes. 5 more minutes! It's not going to compromise my health. I'm eating the same sandwich, but I'm waiting 5 minutes. I'm waiting another 5 minutes. And I'm doing it as an act of homage to Hashem." And he's learning Torah at that time. Could this be Gemara? Like it says in the Gemara. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us, Shadavi is the fourth hour of the day, which by the way is approximately 10 o'clock, is Michael Kaladin. That's when most people would eat. And then Shashishis, the sixth hour, was Michael Talmid Chachamim. So incidentally, the notion that you have to eat breakfast in bed on Mother's Day or any day is ridiculous. It's not a Jewish thing. And once upon a time, people didn't eat breakfast. Breakfast is a fairly recent Western construct, and it's not a healthy one. It's not healthy. 3 meals a day is baloney. 3 square meals a day is not true. You have to eat 2 meals a day. You have to eat in the morning, and you have to eat in the evening. And once upon a time, in antiquity, when people didn't have so much food like we have today and so much of everything we have today, they would eat a meal. Early in the morning, they got up, whatever they did. Maybe they drank something. Maybe they took something in their mouth, but it wasn't a meal. When did they sit down for a meal? About 10 o'clock in the morning, what we call today brunch. 10, 11, would sit down, have a meal. And then they would, in the evening, at 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening, they would have a meal, and that'll be it. Maybe they drank some tea otherwise. But they kept themselves hydrated. They didn't eat meals. They didn't eat 75 meals a day. Like people have to eat, you know, the smorgasbord, before the smorgasbord, after the smorgasbord, then comes the hors d'oeuvres, and then after the hors d'oeuvres, it's a whole eatery, a whole event. It's like a 6-hour eating fest that people go to a simcha. They don't stop eating for a second. They have to be constantly plied with food and drink until they're ready to platz. They can't even move anymore. So this is not a normal thing. It's not healthy. That's probably one of the reasons we have so many problems today, because people eat in a crazy way, crazy eating habits. So what do people once used to do? They used to eat at Shadavis, which is a fourth hour from sunrise. So let's say, for arguably, sunrise is at 6 in the morning. When does that mean eating? We mean breakfast at 10 a.m. So the Mintacham used to eat at noon. They ate at Shashishis. So by the way, 10 could mean the 10th hour, could mean like 9:30, quarter to 10. It could be they'd eat 11:30, 11:15, 11:30, maybe 12, around there. So why would they do that for? V'yamarivim atzvam shtei shoyis lekavanazu. A Talmud Chacham, by the way, is not an academic. A Talmud Chacham is a student of the Torah, a person who lives with a sense of bittul, a sense of nullity before God. So the Talmud Chacham, he would eat 2 hours later with one intention, to serve Hashem. He would restrain himself just to serve Hashem. It's not like he was learning Torah now, so he was kind of getting some extra time to study Torah. This is what he did for a living. He studied Torah. So he studied Torah before he ate breakfast, and he studied Torah after he ate breakfast. So what then was the difference when he ate breakfast? If he started Torah before and after anyway, what's the answer? The answer is, in this way, he exhibited restraint. And restraint, my dear friends, is liberating. It's a form of hitbatlut before Hashem. It's a form of nullifying yourself. But it's a point of iskafia. Yes. And we're soon going to find out how when a person experiences iskafia, when you crush the Yetzirah, amazing things are able to happen as a result. Very, very quickly, just move it along. So if a person, he clamps his lips down, and he doesn't speak, not Lashon Hara. Of course, you never speak Lashon Hara. Not Dvarim B'Teilim. You should never speak empty words. But these are things that have to be spoken. Like sometimes you have to speak to somebody, but you don't want to speak to somebody. It's a very uncomfortable conversation. What do we naturally do? We delay the conversation. We keep pushing off the conversation. We're going to do it eventually. But so imagine a thing you want to talk about. You say, you know what? I'll talk about it when I have to talk about it. I'll deal with it when I have to deal with it. I don't rush to do it. I have to do it anyway. This conversation is going to happen. It'll happen when it happens. I don't have to rush because there's a certain maybe enjoyment or I want to tell somebody, you know, I did A, B, and C and I feel good about it. I know I have to report. I'll make that report later on. So a person would then hold it, restrain himself in order to serve Hashem. There are things we have to think about. Somebody says, yeah, I want you to do X or Z. I got to think about it. Did you think about it yet? No, I didn't think about it yet. How come? Because we don't want to think about it. It's an uncomfortable thing. You have to make a decision. Yeah, I know. I'll think about it later. So imagine something that you need to think about, and you want to think about it. You say, you know what? I'm not going to think about it. So I'm going to take my head of mind away from it. For now, I'm going to focus on doing something holy instead. And this is going to be done as an act of homage to Hashem. Well, when you do that, afilu b'ma'at mizer, even a tiny bit, that kafia sita achla sata, you crush, you subdue the yetzahara, the sita achla, the dark side down, istalik yikara de kochabrichu, this brings forth the glory of God, ukdushasai, and his holiness le'ela. There's a new word once again added, the word is ukdushasai. And the word ukdushasai refers to Hashem's holiness. Do you want to be able to, so to speak, reveal or catalyze a revelation of Hashem's holiness? Then you have to be super holy yourself. And that holiness is found in restraint. And that's, my dear friends, what this business is all about. The truth is that the tzaddik will not have this opportunity. Why won't he have this opportunity? Because it comes naturally to him. It's like the person who didn't talk about something or didn't think about something because it was uncomfortable for them. They don't get credit for that. But a person who wanted to talk about it, wanted to think about it, but didn't because he has a contract with Hashem, then that's an act of avodas Hashem. That brings forth extraordinary holiness. The tzaddik will never get this opportunity, but us regular people, we do have this opportunity all the time. And if we do it, it's extremely meaningful and positive. To be continued.
Thank you.